Set Free Ministry team and its international ministry partners welcomes you to another edition of The Journey. Whether working in some little jungle village in South Asia or the mean city streets in South America, the Set Free team faithfully brings the message of Jesus to those in need, building churches, training pastors, working with international leaders, and securing our religious freedoms. Set Free touches others for Jesus. Whether using old-fashioned evangelistic crusades or even the newer mediums of television and the internet, we bring the message of the kingdom of heaven to those around us. And now our hosts, Dr. Dale and Terry Climie.
We have been collecting up all of the pictures and movies and things that Terry and I have collected up over 41 years of married life, and slowly but surely we're putting them all in the computer so that they don't fade away anymore. We'll keep a good permanent record of all of these pictures. And I came across a picture. I must have been about 11 years old. It was Easter Sunday morning, and myself, my younger brother, and my younger sister are sitting on the couch, and they are just beaming. They are so full of joy. They're smiles on their faces, and they are each holding a little bunny, because mom and dad had purchased them real live little bunnies for Easter. And here in the middle is Dale, and I'm sitting there, and as big as their grins were, that's how big my frown was. Because for some reason it was decided I didn't need a bunny for Easter. Oh, I know. I think this has permanently scarred me. You know, viewing this picture has brought back all of these memories, and now I can understand the problems that I've endured through my life. It all began back there when I was 11 years of age, and I did not receive an Easter bunny as my younger brother and sister did. But at any rate, you know, we look back over our lives, and I'm sure that if we think real hard, we can think of times when we didn't have the things that we wanted to have. But more probably, we can look back and get the things that we really, really did enjoy. And the same thought of that poor, deprived Easter morning. I can remember a Sunday morning when all that I wanted was a robot commando. And a robot commando stood about this big, and it had a little remote control too. Of course, that was back before the era of wireless remote control. He had a little cable that ran to it, and this little robot commando was pretty neat. You could push a little button, and its right arm would sling around, and it was full of little ping pong balls, and it would throw these ping pong balls, and you could load up 6 or 8 of these ping pong balls. So I would chase the cat down the hallway with it, slinging ping pong balls, and chase my little sister or whatever. I learned that mom and dad were off limits real quick. And the other thing that this thing had, you push a button and its little hat would open up, and there was a little missile that would fire out. That was a little bit more difficult to aim. You know, it wasn't that good of accuracy. I landed it in the soup for dinner, and thought better of it after that whooping, that I probably should refrain from using the little missile. That could get me in too much trouble. But I look at my life, and even though my parents were not rich, my father worked 3 jobs as my mother went back to college so that she could become a teacher. We weren't rich, but my parents loved us enough that they tried to give us everything that we needed. We had everything that we needed, and we had most of the stuff even that we wanted. Amen? And I think most of us growing up, we remember the little things that really made a difference. Several years later, I was cleaning out a box, and I found my Raggedy Ann doll that my mother had made me out of an old sock. And here I was, you know, in my mid-20s, and I even tear up now thinking about it. And I just started to cry, you know, because here's this little doll that my mother had made for me at a time when we didn't have a whole lot of money. But that was her hands and her love that went into providing that little Raggedy Ann doll. And that, I guess it was a Raggedy Andy doll. It would have been a sissy thing for me to have a Raggedy Ann doll. Excuse me, your pastor just isn't that way. But as we go to God's Word in Ephesians chapter 1 and picking up at verse 8, it talks about the grace which He, the possessor of all wisdom and understanding, lavished upon it. Amen? And if you don't have your Bibles, we have put everything in the bulletin in 14-point font, so it's a little bit easier to read. It says, the grace which He, the possessor of all wisdom and understanding, lavished upon us. And what we have learned is that grace is God's unmerited favor. Grace can take any form. It's the way that God reaches down and blesses us. And, you know, we say grace before we eat, but, you know, that's kind of a misnomer, because it's through God's bountiful grace that we're able to sit there and eat that meal in the first place. Isn't it? And so here Paul says something kind of interesting, that He, that's God, the possessor of all wisdom and understanding, He lavishes what we need upon us. And I want us to see something this morning, is that number one, as many of us have cried out to God, God, don't you know, don't you understand? Yes, He does. He is the possessor of all wisdom and all understanding. That's why He took the form of a man and sent His Son Jesus to walk on this earth, so that He would understand what it meant to be hungry, so that He would understand what it meant to be without. He would understand what it meant to be betrayed, to have friends that would swear their lives to you, and the next moment they're running for their lives. Jesus endured all of that. Why? So that He would understand. We can't ask God, don't you understand? Because all He has to do is answer in one word, Jesus. Amen? He does understand. And so the one thing that I want us to see as we begin this little study this morning is that He has lavished upon us everything that we need. All of His grace, He has lavished upon us. And the question that I have is, do we appreciate what He has lavished upon us? You know, I can say, much to my disgrace, that there was a time when I didn't appreciate the wife that God gave me. That I made life rough on her because I thought I had a different idea of what I wanted in a wife. But you know what? God knew what I needed. And through His mercy, He opened up my eyes to let me see that Terry is the wife that I need. See, He has all the wisdom, He has all the knowledge to give us, not only give us what we need, but lavish upon us what we need. I gave the illustration last week of Charles Stuart Mott, who would go through the cafeteria line at the community college there in Flint, Michigan. And he would order the meal and they would tell him, well, that'll be, you know, 72 cents, Mr. Mott. And he would break out his little coin purse and he would find 72 cents. Or if he had three quarters, he would wait for his change to come back. Here's somebody who's a multi-billionaire and he wants his 2 cents wet back. Alright? That man didn't lavish anything on anybody. It was cheaper for him to let the cook go and just have somebody come in to prepare the evening meals, because he could go over and for 73 cents get his lunch at the cafeteria at the local college. Amen. That's not somebody who lavishes. Amen. But our God knows the word to lavish, to pour out everything that we need. In verse 9, when he made known to us the secret of his will, and this in harmony with God's merciful purpose for the government of the world when the times are ripe for it, the purpose which he has cherished in his own mind of restoring the whole creation to find its one head in Christ. Yes, things in heaven and things on earth to find their one head in him. Now this is out of the Weymouth New Testament that was in 1912. It's a little bit easier to understand than the King James Version. And I want you to see that God has a plan. And not only does God have a plan, we're part of the plan. Amen. He isn't saying, boy, do I have a surprise for you come Christmas morning. He says, no, I've got a surprise for this world, and we are part of it. In verse 10 it says, for the God's merciful purpose for the government of the world when the times are ripe. He's saying there's going to be a time, there's going to be a right time when he's going to bring all of this together. Now, it's interesting that as much as somebody might have liked the first George Bush or the second George Bush, these were one world people. They wanted a one world government. Their desire was to bring the whole world together under one government, and this one government, this one man, would rule the whole world. And there's a lot of people in the upper echelons of society who think that they know so much more than we do. And therefore, you know, us poor minions, we just simply need to submit to their supreme wisdom and let them run things the way that they believe things need to be run. But you see, God says, now, when the time is right, I'm going to do it. When the time is right, there will be one government. When the time is right, I'm going to restore the whole creation to find its one head in Christ. Amen? The Word of God says that creation groans for the revelation of the sons of God. That means that this whole world, as we look out and we see the beauty of the trees and everything that God has made, everything out there, in you know, regardless of how beautiful it is, it's groaning because it's saying we are existing in this fallen world where ultimately God's will is not being accomplished. But it's a fallen world where people get diseased, where people die, they get sick, they are crippled, there's car accidents, there's all these things going on. But creation groans for the day when God comes back and he said, now I'm going to take over. And the Word says that someday Jesus Christ will come back and rule from David's throne in Jerusalem. And then the world will be ruled in righteousness. And that's not what I want to get into exactly today, but what it says here in the last part of verse 10, restoring the whole creation to find its one head in Christ. You know, our television program is called The Journey because we're all on a journey, aren't we? We're all on a journey to find the truth. We're all on a journey to find our place in Christ. And it's not just us, it's everybody on the face of this earth. And it's just not the human beings, it's every plant and it's every animal that somehow deep down inside it recognizes that things aren't quite right until God ultimately rules and they find its one head in Christ. Yes, the things in heaven and the things in the earth to find their one head in Him. You know, the Word of God says that there's a promise. Whatsoever things ye bind on earth are bound in heaven. Whatsoever things you loose on earth are loosed in heaven. We had a study on this a couple weeks ago where the things here are just a shadow, just an image of what God already has for us in heaven. In heaven, His desire is for us to be healed and to walk in health and to walk in all that we need here on this earth. We are restricted because we live in a fallen world. Amen? But going back to the second verse, He's made known to us His secret, the secret of His will, that we are in harmony with God's purpose. And so as we leave this place today, and a lot of us will limp out of here with our aches and pains. A lot of us, a few of us, I see three walkers here. We're going to scoot out of here on our little walkers. There's a couple of canes. We'll go ahead and hobble out of here on our canes. All right. Some of us, I have too much pride for the walker or the cane. And so I'll just kind of go out this way. But we're going to go out of here experiencing the fact that we live in a fallen world, but with the hope that God has a plan to bring it all back under His control. Amen. Under His control. Can you imagine, go back a few thousand years to Adam and Eve, where they wake up in the morning and there's no, you know, did they have innerspring mattresses back then? Where do you think they slept? Probably on the ground.
My mother used to make mattresses out of hay.
There you go. Okay, they could have gone and piled up some hay. All right. How would you feel, what kind of shape would you be in this morning had you spent the night on the ground? I probably would have a few less people here this morning because we probably wouldn't have been able to hobble our way into church this morning. But when God had His perfect world, His perfect creation, we got up, no pain, no discomfort, went through the tasks of the day, doing whatever God required us, whatever God required His creation to do, with the satisfaction that our God is in complete control. This is, we sing that song, this is our Father's world. Amen? Well, there really was a time when it was our Father's world in every respect. And there was no fallen nature. And there was no animosity, and there was no sickness, there was no injury. But now we live in a world where we do have a rough time getting out of bed in the morning. But this morning, the Apostle Paul is reminding us that too is temporary. Because God has a plan. And we're part of that plan.
Amen.
He's not leaving us behind. We're part of that plan to bring us into the fullness of all the glory, all the grace, all the favor that He wants to shower on us, the ones that He loves. Amen?
Amen?
Amen? And so my question, just in conclusion, is since He's the possessor of all wisdom and all understanding, which means that He can give each of us exactly what we need, what is our response when we see one of our brothers or sisters receive something and are blessed? What should our response be? Well, praise God, because that's the same God that I serve. Or are you going to be like me on that Easter Sunday morning? Well, I didn't get no bunny. This is not fair. Where is my bunny? Where is my bunny? maybe my parents had something better planned for me. Amen. My brother and sister got what they needed, and I probably got a swift kick in the pants. That's what I needed. What do you have here, Terry? The answer, what I needed? Oh, okay. This is what I need. All right. But that He is going to give us what we need. Amen. The devil's going to try to talk you into, oh, just give up. It's not going to happen. No. His grace that He lavishes upon us. I love that word. He lavishes it upon us. Father, we thank
You. Doesn't stay, you have a choice. You must make, how will you face it all? Life just winds like a mountain road. Sometimes yes and sometimes no. Good or bad, nobody knows where you choose to stand or fall. Just when you choose to take it on, the waves stop and the sea goes calm. You lie down to rest your mind. Here comes the rain. Yeah, welcome to the shine.